Find the scripture with me, Hebrews 11:6. Today we're in a book of Hebrews, and there's been sickness and delay, and we're going to eventually get chapter by chapter, but we're laying the foundation for Hebrews right now. Hebrews 11:6 is a central verse of Hebrews. It says, "Now without faith it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him." Let's pray together. Lord, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Lord, help me to be in tune with your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Remind me, Lord, everybody on this campus today, in this hour, I'm the one under a greater or a more strict judgment than anyone else, because I'm a teacher of your word, and I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see all of you. If you're new today, and just a guess, I want to try to overlap and catch you up a minute. I don't want to just leave you out there wondering, and I'm going to attempt to do that. Laying down the foundation of Hebrews, we're going to be concentrating on three words that's used continuously through the book of Hebrews. One of the words is better. We handled that last Sunday. The other word is perfect or complete. We handled that last Sunday. And then handling the word eternal. So last Sunday we handled all three words. They're used numerous times in the book of Hebrews. They're a focal point. Better, complete in the Lord, and then eternal. And what's happening here is, remember we said they're second generation Christians. They are led to the Lord by people who walked physically with the Lord. So it's one generation who was physically with Christ, who is one another generation to Christ. And this second generation is going through very difficult times. There are a lot of persecution, a lot of suffering, a lot of difficulty. Remember, we handled their cultures are colliding like ours. Very similar today with us. Their cultures are colliding, and sometimes we get culturally defensive. And this can be happening with them too. And what's happening here, the reason Hebrews was written to them, we see they want to go back. They want to go back to the old way of life. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to tell them, no, you got to go forward. So it's a warning of not going back, and we handled that last Sunday, but I told you the picture of going back was going to be handled today, and we're going to get there. Let me remind you, and let's go back to Sunday school for a moment, all right? There's no middle ground with the Lord. Scripture says you either drink from the, finish it with me, cup of the enemy, or you drink from the cup of the Lord. You're either hot, come on, or you're cold. No lukewarm, right? Laodicea. No lukewarm. You're either for me or you're against me. So a biblical view, a kingdom view, is you're either going forward or you're going backward. There is no standing still. Now, you can say a worldview has that. Well, a worldview does have that. But a kingdom view does not have that. A kingdom view is you're either progressing or you're returning. It is, you're going back. There's no middle ground. There's no, I'm just stale. There is that. We want to make it that way, but Scripture doesn't present it that way. So today we're going to deal with going back. I want you to look at Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, and I'm going to handle it verse by verse, but we're going to read it all together. We have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Yeah. Although by this time, you ought to be teachers by now. You need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Verse 13. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness, because they are an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. Let's look at verse 11. Verse 11 says that you have really a phrase there that comes out of it is you've become dull in your hearing. You've just become hard of hearing when it comes to this. Here's the struggle, guys, in our world. Let's just put it present day. We struggle between a worldview and a kingdom view. And there's a lot of times we want to go, well, I understand the worldview, and that's surely the way that it works in the kingdom, and it doesn't work that way. A kingdom view is distinctly different than a worldview. Very distinctly different. You got to be able to discern between the two. You got to be able to discern that. I had a couple come to me one time, and they said, we had a time with the Lord, and I said, great, and explain that to me. And they said, well, in our prayer time, the Lord told us it's okay to doubt. How would you handle that? I don't know that the Lord would tell me it's okay to doubt. When I do doubt, do I think he gives me assurance? Yeah, but he's going to go, hey, Jeff, it's Sunday. Have a doubt day. Think he's going to do that with me? Okay, I've had people saying, well, the Lord told me it was okay for me to worry. Just watch it a little bit. Never in Scripture does it say it's okay to worry. You see the difference between a worldview and a kingdom view? That becomes the struggle. Worldview and a kingdom view. We don't use worry anymore. We go concerned. Right? I'm just really concerned. Which means you're not sleeping at night and you're worrying. Right? That's what that means. Worldview, kingdom view. We get into that. So they're dull of hearing. And they become too lazy. That's what that phrase, becomes too lazy to understand, really means. They're just not listening. And if they are listening, they're listening to the wrong voice. Verse 12, it says, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of the kingdom. You can read the scripture we have already. You should know kingdom principles by now. You should know kingdom principles by now. I was in a meeting in one of the churches I pastored at a TV station in a TV ministry, and we were in a meeting with the TV crew. We needed a new character generator. You know, it's that line you see on the bottom of TV screens, and you got to type all that stuff in and all that. So we had this big meeting about it, and we had a executive pastor who handled all of our finances. And so we were in this meeting, and we need a new character generator. It's going to cost about $10,000. And we chatted about it. All in favor, say aye. We did a little business meeting, and we did that. And then at the end of it, the guy handling the meeting asked me to pray. And I prayed that the Lord would raise somebody up to pay for this. And as soon as I finished my prayer, the guy leading the meeting said, now I want to remind you, and pointed to the executive pastor, we may have to borrow the money for that. And I said, whoa, did you not just hear what I asked the Father? I asked the Father for something totally different. Monday morning, the guy walks into our office, lays down a check for $10,000, doesn't even attend our church. He said, I love you, TV ministry. I just want to give you this out of my wife's estate and wants you to have it. Now, there's a part of me that want to take that check and run to that guy and just go, eh. You know, just, eh. Na, 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 later. You know, I didn't do it, but I wanted to. My point in that is we get to a point where you've got to understand the basic principles of the Lord. And we should get to a point, not that everybody's going to be a teacher with a class, but it is all of us should get to a point where we're teaching other people the kingdom principles of God. Just in our daily life. What do we say in our discipleship program here? Where do you disciple? Where you live, work, and play. So what does that mean? Hold a class? No. It just means where you live, work, and play, you're casting out You're casting out kingdom principles when it becomes an opening for you to do so. A lot of people want a class. And we're absolutely going the opposite way of that. A lot of people want a get up and lecture a class. We're totally, Hope Church is totally going the other way. Where do I do this? Where do I pass out these kingdom principles? Where we live, work, and play. And we do that, but all of you, everybody in this room should be approaching that. Not that I've got a class, not that we've got a series that we're going through, or I'm just duplicating a Bible study. It is, you should be teachers by now. Of what? The kingdom principles of God. You should be there. To the people here, they're on milk, they're not on solid food. You need to go back to the basic principles. They're not advancing. These people are not advancing, and they just lost their understanding. They just absolutely have lost their understanding. When I was dealing with ministry, I was running from ministry. Jamie knew my dad, and I love my dad. I just didn't want to be a preacher, and I don't really trust anybody that wants to be a preacher, if you want to know the truth about it. I was running from it, and Julie, my wife, was a local town next to us. Jamie knows this town well, Greensburg. My wife was singing at a revival at Greensburg Baptist, and I really didn't care about the church service, and I didn't care about the preacher. I just didn't care about any of that. I just wanted to go see Julie because I was, am, and always will be madly in love with her. So I just, guys, you know how a girl drag you to church, you know what I mean? So I went there to just see her, sit by her. And a guy, Doug Strader, was preaching the revival. Doug's a good friend. And I was sitting on the third row. I've told some of y'all this story before. I was on the third row about this area here. And I did listen to the sermon, a little bit of it. And we preachers' kids know how to tune you off, you know. I tuned him out, got a little bit in there. And during the invitation, we sang the hymn, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." So I had a moment of really being open before the Lord. I said, "Lord, people could look at me and they don't know that I'm really running, but there's a part of me that really does want to follow you. There really is." He said, "I want you to preach. I'm thinking of Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. I'll take door number 3. You know, I don't want to do that. Is there anything else? Can we cut a deal here? I want you to preach." I said, I just kind of shut it out. The preacher stopped the service, Doug Strader. He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, this invitation hymn means the world to me. He said, "I was 21 years old," and that's how old I was. I was sitting on the third row on the left. I was on the third row on the left. And he said, "I heard this song in an invitation, and I said, 'Lord, whatever you want me to do, I do.' He told me to preach." I go, "This is getting weird. This is getting weird. You can't make this up." Some of us get to a point, we have lost our understanding of the basic principles of God. And some of you all will declare to high heaven that the enemy talks to you, but the Holy Spirit doesn't. And a worldview is going to listen to the lies of the enemy. A kingdom view is going to listen to the whispers of the Holy Spirit. You'll get to where you're thinking you're only hearing one voice. And the truth of it is, we got to get back. He's saying here, you've lost your understanding. You need someone to go back and teach you the basic principles of following the Lord. It could be anything from incredible faith to just learning to tithe the tenth of your income. And some of you are going to fight me to the last degree. It's because you've not been taught the basic principle of trusting the Lord with 90%. You will live more full off the 90% than you will the whole 100 if he lets you handle it. And some of us have gotten to the point, you have forgotten that basic principle of God. It's not a fight of the will. It is a fight that you've lost the understanding of God's way of having you live kingdom principles. So you should be able to teach another generation that, but you have lost your understanding of the basic principles of God. Verse 13. Let me go back to 12, Greg. Let me go back to 12. It says the milk here is, milk is an important season of an infant's life and a necessary season, but it's not really a continual part of your growth. There becomes a switch from milk to meat to solid food. Solid food will have more of the nutrients to take you on to a more advanced life. Verse 13. He basically refers to these people as milk Christians. Those two words are not together there, side by side, but that's the implied. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because they are infants. They are unskilled in knowing what is right and wrong. It's really what righteousness is. You can take the E-O-U-S out and just say rightness. That they are unskilled in knowing what is right. Verse 14 explains that more, but those who are on meat or solid food, that's for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish and they know the difference between what is good and what is evil. They know a worldview when they hear it or see it or feel it, and they know the difference in a kingdom principle and a kingdom view if they know it and see it and feel it. You're able to distinguish in your maturity what is the whisper of the enemy or the voice of the enemy or what is the whisper of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to whisper to you to say, have a doubt day. Go on and continue your worry. That's an enemy lie. And you got to get to a point where you're able to tell the difference. Which one is that? People ask me all the time, they go, hey, Pastor Jeff, how can I know this is the Lord talking to me? It's a great question, isn't it? My automatic answer is he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. The enemy's voice will be condemning, accusing. It'll be accusing, it'll be tormenting. It will include negative emotions, doubt, fear, worry, lust, selfishness, envy, hate, rage. You put them all in there. The whisper of our Lord is going to be that of peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, meekness, generosity. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that's going to be his voice. But here's the thing. I want you to think with me. If me and you had the capability of generating peace, we would have already done it. You and I do not have the capability of generating peace. You're trying to. You're trying to. Some of you smoke it. Some of you snort it. Some of you drink it. Some of you run around in another relationship. Some of you go to websites you don't need to go to. Some of you gamble. Some of you are trusting a lottery ticket instead of the Lord. It just goes on and on. I want to tell you about the Lord. Tired. You see what I'm saying? How do I know it's the voice of the Lord? He brings me peace. I may not completely understand it. I may have to process it. But I think one of the Lord's favorite lines is, hang on, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I like that voice. That's one of my favorite songs. Logan, where are you? It's Salvation Is Here. Is that the name of it? Thank you. And in that song, it's got, everything's going to be all right. And I'm going, I know that voice. I've heard that line before, and the enemy's never said it to me. Only the Prince of Peace has done that. You don't generate your peace. He brings it to you. Philippians 4, go read it. It's a peace that passes all of your understanding. You got it? Good. I guess I'm preaching twice today. It just happens to be all at once instead of two different services. There you go. Thank you. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. They're wanting to go back. Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, they're wanting to go back. They were encouraging these people to go ahead and face the persecution of gathering together. Persecution to some of us would scatter us. Persecution to them was drawing them near. And so some of them, it wasn't a rainy day that they're dealing with here. It was the threat of losing their life. And they're encouraging them to go ahead and face the persecution to gather with brothers and sisters. In our culture, it's snow and rain and if the cats are playing. But let me teach you what one thing I believe the enemy knows. That if he can get you to missing one or two, he'll get you to missing four and five and six and seven. And it's okay with him. It's okay with him. But whatever you got to fight through to come to worship, fight through it. Because there's encouragement here. Where's the encouragement? Listen to the voice of the kingdom instead of the voice of the world. That's the encouragement here that you need. I'm going to revert to my childhood. Guys, and I'm sure there's some girls that we would welcome in the club, but guys, were y'all Hot Wheels fans like I were? Oh, son. I used to take a hammer and beat them up and make them look like they'd been in a bad wreck. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? That was my wreck car. And Hot Wheels, oh, son. Man, I had tracks. Do you remember that little house? Y'all remember that little house that had those two wheels in it? And your Hot Wheel went in there and boom, send you right on out and make you go on around the curve or go over that ramp or do that jump or that loop-de-loo or whatever. I had Hot Wheel tracks everywhere in my house, off kitchen tables and counters and down steps. But in my mind, I'm telling you how shallow I am. In my mind, I've always thought church service, gathering, was like that little Hot Wheel house that had those two wheels in there, meaning that thing didn't have enough gas to get around the loop or the curve or the ramp. And it went in that little house and boop, send that thing right out. For some strange way, in my silly little mind, I'm going, I think that's what church is. Some of y'all are running out of gas about Friday or Saturday, and you're losing your understanding, and the world's crying, and you're listening to it. You need to get your bottom in here so that we go boop, and you go forward back into a kingdom view. You know, you need that encouragement. So don't listen to the world. Listen to the voice of the kingdom. Listen to the Prince of Peace. And that way you won't lose your understanding. To just get on with that. So we get to that point. It will habitually happen. One or two, three or four, five or six. Oh, they don't care about me there. I care about you enough there that we worked hard to make this thing presentable for you to get here today so that you go into Hot Wheels house and boom, shoot out the other side. Because trust me, on the other side, there's curves, loops, and jumps. And you got to be able to go through them. I'm almost on it, aren't I, Tyra? Huh? I'm almost on it. T's just over here. Yeah, I'll be singing before it's over with. That'll be about the time y'all need to leave. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, I want you to leave the elementary message about the Messiah. I'll explain that in a minute. Let us go on with maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, but faith in God. You've got leaving in line one. You've got let us go on in line two. And this is a leaving versus let us go on. The leaving aspect of it is separation. The word there means let's separate. You're going, hey, pastor, you want me to separate from the elementary message about the Messiah? No, it's not what it means there. Here's what it means. In the Old Testament, there was a sacrificial system with animals. It was necessary, but temporary. Every animal sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed where? To Christ. Let me give you an example. I used to lead tours to Israel, you know that, and you've seen the Golden Dome Mosque on most of the pictures of Jerusalem, and that is called the Dome of the Rock, and the reason they call it the Rock is because there's a slab under that dome, and that in the Old Testament was Mount Moriah. So when you read about Mount Moriah, that's it. Now to Kentucky folk, it'd be a ridge. It's not a mountain. It'd just be a good ridge, okay? So there's a slab of rock. That's where they believe Abraham laid down and offered up Isaac on Mount Moriah. Dome of the Rock. If you didn't have a wall to walk through and you could freely walk through that ridge, in other words, take off where the Dome of the Rock is and just walk that ridge for a number of minutes and go through the wall. There's a wall there now, but if you went through it, you would come to a place that's called Calvary. At the very end of that ridge is Calvary. On the very same mountaintop that God asked Abraham to offer up Isaac, is the very same mountaintop that the Father offered up the Son. And even the story of Abraham and God providing a better sacrifice of that ram that has his horns hung in the thicket is pointing to Jesus. Same ridge. It's literally the same ridge. So what they're saying there is, let's leave the animal sacrifices that used to point to Jesus. Because that was the elementary message of the Messiah. With every animal sacrifice, it's pointing to a greater sacrifice in the future. And he said, let us go on. Let's go on to the maturity, not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works, but faith in God. And let's recognize the sacrifice that he's given us now in Jesus. It's no longer the sacrifice of blood from bulls and goats. It is now the blood that was shed from the perfect Lamb of God. So let's leave that animal sacrifice business, because why? They're wanting to go back to it. It's all about going back. They're wanting to go back to that old way of life. They're wanting to head back that way. He's saying, no, there's a new, more perfect sacrifice now. That teaching's done. You hang on to what the Lord has done. Here's a question I wrote down for you. I can be inquisitive on how you handled your spiritual life in the past. I'm just going to say this. I don't think Christians should be reading horoscopes. You hear me? Yeah. I don't... Old Testament says don't get into mediums and spiritualists and all those kind of things. One guy said, preacher, can you read palms? I said, heck yeah, I can read them. And he goes, well, how do you know what it's saying? I said, it either tells me that you've washed them or you need to. One of the two. I can read your palm. Do you see what I'm saying? The worldview versus the kingdom view? You see that struggle that goes on there? And it gets to that point that let's go on. Whatever how you used to handle your spiritual life, that's what you used to do. Here's how you handle your spiritual life now. And they're wanting to go back to their old way of handling their spiritual life. And some of us want to do that too. You don't go back to how you handled your spiritual life. You go forward, because it's not the sacrifice in the blood of bulls and goats. It is the sacrifice of the precious Lamb of God. I don't look at the old sacrificial system. If I do read about it, it points to Christ. It doesn't desire me to go back to the old system. He's going, go to the new sacrifice that I've given you, and that is through my Son. Hebrews starts off this way. I used to talk through the prophets of old, but now I speak through my Son. I speak through my son. So we look in that direction. He is our high priest. The old priesthood is gone. There's a new priesthood. And he is our new high priest. And this is what Christ is greater, bigger, better than anything, any season, anything in your past, anyone in your past. There is a life that used to be under the law, and that life has been fulfilled in Christ, and now it's a life under grace. We're under the grace of the Lord, and we live there. Let's finish off with Hebrews 11:6, because that's where we started. Here's what I want you to see. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists. And I want you to see this. This is the let's go on line, okay? And he rewards those who, let's go on. He rewards those who seek him. Let's go on. Who needed the Hot Wheels house today to get over the curve of this week, the ramp and the loop, okay? You came here this morning on a snowy old day, and boop, he just sent you right on through. And it's encouragement. Listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you in a kingdom life. The enemy, his words are going to lead you back into a worldview. Don't go there. Church, let's seek him. Let's go on. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time together. Thank you for blessing us with brothers and sisters, Lord, that you've brought here just for this day. Thank you for them. Bless them. Bless our time together. Lord, only you can implant the message that they carry out. I'm not capable of doing that. I'm not even gifted enough to do that. But Lord, breathe within us. Breathe within us a desire to follow you. Let's go on. You've given us the most perfect sacrifice. He made it for us. We don't have to make it for ourselves. And we recognize his sacrifice today. We recognize the power that raised him from the dead is the power that saved all of us. We have witnessed that power. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our high priest. Thank you for being our sacrifice. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. The invitation, if you're here and you never surrendered your life to Christ, there'll be people in the altar that will, you can come. They'll minister to you and with you and for you. If you're a believer, we offer communion. It doesn't matter if you're a member of this church or not. If you're a brother and sister in the Lord, you're welcome to the table. The bread represents his body given, the drink, his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink. Before you consume it, remember his sacrifice today. The perfect Lamb of God. Let's go on and give thanks. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your spot? Logan's gonna lead us. You respond, you come.